I'd say anal too felt like a rabbit, but it's definitely a duck. I just said that for your reaction. I planned it.
Oh my God.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Oh, it's going to be in the beginning of the episode.
The beginning of the intro.
Hi, Kate. It's good to see you.
Hey, Caitlin. It's so good to see you too.
How about it?
I think people liked our High Beautiful
special. Like it was well received.
So stay tuned for the next time I decide to indulge in a sandwich during the podcast. Today is not that day because this is not an episode that I hate. So,
no, it's not an episode that I hate either.
It's a very, very good one. Although, I mean, feel free, smoke them if you got them anytime you want. But I just feel like being in my right mind for this episode, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's just my personal choice.
Some updates from the Himyam universe. A sad one. A really sad one.
I don't know. I don't know if they've announced it publicly yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what we're talking about is Craig Thomas, obviously, co-creator of How I Met Your Mother, is working on a very fucking cool movie with Carter Bays. And they just got some very bad news about someone who plays going to play a very big part in the movie, which is, shitty. I mean, yeah, I mean, and I did...
He did reach out.
I did reach out, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm so sorry. And he did tell me what was happening, but I don't feel like I should share that.
No, I
so,
agree.
We will all know soon enough, but I hope that something can be done to...
remedy
this and to somehow salvage what's being lost here. I'll say I never thought I'd hate this person.
Right.
This person's really cool. Now I'm so disappointed in them.
Thanks.
But, yeah.
I know. It's really disappointing because I thought it was, like, such a good fit, though, you know?
I know.
It would be a good draw.
Oh, speaking of good fits. Kim Cattrall is going to play, I said, Hillary Duff's Bob Saget. So, basically,
I love future... how that's put.
Future, whatever Hillary Duff's character's name is. Kim Cattrall, if you don't know, is Samantha from Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. She's not in Sex and the City because she had a huge falling out with the rest of the cast. I don't know who to believe in that situation, obviously. But I always feel bad when someone's sort of singled out.
Agreed.
Like, I feel like she
I
might have
for that
some legitimate... upset, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, she might have caused some of it herself because, you know,
nobody's
things happen.
Completely innocent.
Right. But she does have a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is a good fit for a wise future voice.
I agree.
I love that they're still doing that conceit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. Whenever How I Met Your Father launches, is it this fall? All right, let's see what it says. It says early 2022. So,
oh, that's exciting.
And her name is Sophie.
That's my favorite girl name.
Oh, and Chris Lowell is playing Jesse, who I'm assuming is the dad. Hmm. He was in Glow, which is a show that I loved.
Yeah.
So that's cool. We do have a little bit of more of a diversity than last time, so that's good, but not in the two main characters.
Of course not.
But that's fine.
But I feel like they're being thoughtful about the casting, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like, no, I'm obviously going to give it a shot, and we're obviously going to talk about it.
Of course. But I think Kim Cattrall is a good fit, so I feel like that's thoughtful, you know?
Yeah, really. Totally.
Craig and Carter are involved, so.
They're involved, and that's safe. And they can't, no one can physically go back in time and ruin How I Met Your Mother, right? It's not going to do anything, but.
Josh Peck is in it.
Who's Josh Peck?
From, like, he was on Drake and Josh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
They don't even have pictures here.
We should take back about thoughtful. I can show you pictures.
Wait, which one's Josh?
He was the heavier set.
Oh, okay. And Drake is the one that got in trouble.
Yeah.
With the law. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, now that we've got that sorted.
Interesting.
You know what I realized? And neither of us really noticed it at the time. We didn't do our October live stream. We scheduled it and just didn't do it.
What?
Yeah, I know. I don't know how it wasn't.
When did we schedule it for?
I couldn't even tell you. I'd have to listen to an episode to know.
Oh my god, October was a fucking dumpster fire. I know. So, yeah, our November live stream is going to be the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which is the 30th, I think, right? Is it the last day of the month?
Yep, last day of the month we're doing the live stream.
Live stream November 30th. We'll do it from 7 to 7:30, and then Kate and I will jump right into recording the episode. I love when we do that. I mean, I love when we're able to get in on a weekend so we can have some of our friends in other time zones join us.
Yeah,
but I love when we can just like chat with the fans and just like connect, and then like the energy it gives is just really fun, I feel
Afterwards. Absolutely. And then we flow right into the episode. So looking forward to that.
All right, so apparently we missed a couple of legendary moments.
We're just slacking over here. Not surprised, since we were on many sandwiches.
I mean, it was high beautiful. So.
High beautiful. Things happen. Right.
David writes in to say cook poo, but then sent this in. So that was his legendary moment, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, David's legendary moment was cook poo, but then he sent a follow-up email with this, which I thought was... David's really sweet.
So David writes, I'm about halfway through your Perfect Week episode and decided I didn't want to wait until the end to email over an apology for my legmo I sent in. I talked very briefly about, I talked very briefly in the cook poo jokes being funny without really taking into any sort of context outside of the idea of it just being a fake name for a class list. The jokes having an underlying racist tone was lost on me. Y'all brought it to my attention very early in the episode and I cringed at myself. I tend to rewatch the episodes late at night and then send in my legmo. I just clearly wasn't thinking about anything. Again, my apologies and thanks for bringing it up on your episode. Hope you are all well. Now to finish the episode and see how hard if y'all go at me for my inappropriate legmo.
Well, we missed it, so
keep being great.
You got you got off the hook. But yeah, no, we aren't here to make people feel bad. And so you don't need to apologize
unless
to us at all, unless you're Vanessa and you're being a bitch. Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, it's poop jokes, right? And if you're not thinking further than that, then that's
funny.
What it is, and it's funny. And the first time I watched it, I thought it was funny, but now I've learned a lot, you know, since 2009. So yeah, we're just passing on the context around it. So if, because we got a couple messages from people being like, oh, sorry about that, like I didn't realize, and that's it. Like, that's all you got to do. You don't even need to apologize to us. I mean,
when you know better, you do better. That's like the philosophy I try to keep in mind, because
we aren't the community being offended by the jokes. We're just pointing them out.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that nice email, David.
So sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need our glass shattered. A la spoiler alert. You know what I mean?
How about it?
Yeah.
And then also one from Martin. Martin writes, of all the episode's big hits, my grand slam moment is Ted's pep talk with Barney. Ted seems to love playing the role of a pitching coach, right down to the customary bum tap at the end. The use of the music from Major League made the moment all the more legendary. That's the movie, right?
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know. I didn't even
Which
like,
one
pick
are
up
you
on.
Thinking of?
The one with the Charlie Sheen?
Yes, yes, him? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Martin Sheen?
No, it's Charlie.
It's Charlie. He's the, And he's got the hair, right?
The hair?
Like, doesn't he have like a funny mohawk or something? Like funny, like hair?
I don't know.
I'm embarrassed now. But I didn't even pick up on the music being from Major League.
Yeah, so. Me neither. So Ooh, good right catch, over. Martin.
Thank you, Martin. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't forget to send in your legendary moments for the next episode, which is Hooked.
Teacup Pig. Teacup Pig is coming. I can't wait.
Oh, so good. So yeah, send us your legendary moment for that episode, which we will be recapping next time, which is November 30th, right after mm-hmm. our live stream event. Make sure to put in the subject hooked so we miss less of them.
Yeah. Oh, and we should point out that our live streams are for Patreon members only. Yes,
only Patreon members.
And
that means you are one of the members of our HB fam who just is able to give a little bit to show their support of our show. And you get some fun perks about it, which we'll get into in just a second. But make sure to stay tuned to the end of this episode for some legendary moments from listeners like you. And now let's get into Rabbit or Duck. So this episode of Hey Beautiful is brought to you by our Patreon almighty five level members, Arjan, Adam, Tish, Johnny, and Ben. And thanks to all of our patrons for their support of this show. Our Patreon works on a sliding scale. You get what you can each month and you'll receive all the perks we offer. So you can join for just as little as $2 a month at patreon.com/heybeautifulpod. Man, I ate too many sandwiches, and I should have had some cookies or treats instead.
Ooh, yeah. Rachel's cookies and treats. Yes, we're back to talk about them again because they are the best.
The best. Not only are they, like, good people and great friends, but they are people who put so much love into these mm-hmm. handmade small batch cookies with all real ingredients, no preservatives. Rachel's cookies and treats.
Just amazing. And now, there are some limited time specials for the fall, mm-hmm. like their apple cider, maple pecan, and pumpkin spice cookies. So get over there, rachelscookiesandtreats.com, and stock up on some goodies. We have a code so you guys can get 25% off.
It is, get your pens ready if you write stuff down still. All capitals, HBFAM. That's HBFAM. And it will get you 25% off your total order again and again and again. That's right. You can reuse it. It's not just a single use code. So get on to rachelscookiesandtreats.com. Get some of those yummy, yummy cookies. Save 25% off. And write in and tell us about it.
Yeah, we love to hear what you think about these delicious cookies.
Yeah, what your favorite cookie is. Obviously, you know some of ours.
Molasses crinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter. Nona's. The chocolate chip. The Nona's. Any Nona's.
Any Nona.
Any Nona is good in my book. They're so, so delicious. So yeah, they'll ship anywhere in the continental U.S. Yes. So Americans, this one's for you. rachelscookiesandtreats.com. Use our code HBFAM for 25% off.
I was talking about this at dinner. I was like, oh my God. I was like, we're on episode 103.
Whoa. Because
Jack was asking where we were in the series. Yeah. Isn't that nuts? We still have 105 episodes to go, but
just about halfway.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Next episode, right?
Just about halfway. Yep.
Yeah. 104. This is season 5, episode 15, titled Rabbit or Duck. It first aired on February 8th, 2010, and it was written by Baze and Thomas, our favorite English muffin.
Yay!
And we got Pam Fryman, our girl, back again.
The dream team is together for an important plot mover.
Yes. Oh, this was such a fun and fast episode, too. I was just like, oh my God, it's done already.
I know, and everything was so packed, and there's so much dialogue. Like, I had to keep stopping. Because sometimes I can just, like, you know, write my notes as I'm watching and catch up as I go. But every second of this is so packed, and there are so many scenes.
And like, so many callbacks.
So many callbacks. So it was a lot in a very, very good way. We can always rely on the dream team for that.
I know. They're so good at what they do.
They're so good. Yeah. They're so good.
And so speaking of callbacks, one of the things that made me smile is like the very beginning of this episode where we start with like their Super Bowl tradition, eating the wings all together.
That's right. Yeah, you know? Was that season two?
Two?
Was it season two that they did the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I just loved how that we have the little callback, but not everyone in the group is there. And we notice that Barney's not there. And soon enough, we find out where he is.
Confirmed, it is season two. Sorry, it continue. Is,
okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Monday Night Football is what it's called.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I think if we knew the sports, we would know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so we find out Barney's missing, but we find out where he is. He is at the freaking Super Bowl in Miami, Florida, live and in person.
Yeah.
And he's got a big giant sign and it says, "Hey ladies, call Barney Simpson." So a couple of fun facts about that. So C, B, and S is in the big colored letters, which is what the network that How I Met Your Mother originally aired on, and also the ones that broadcasted the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
During the, when this first had aired, it was actually shown during the Super Bowl telecast that showed Barney, and he had a poster, and it had a real number that when you dialed it, it had a recorded message of Neil Patrick Harris playing Barney Stinson.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
It was changed to one of the fake 555 numbers for, like, the syndication. Yeah, isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
Yeah. And also, excuse me, so this is just some fun facts about the Super Bowl, only because this was 2010, and I didn't know this or remember it. I had read it, and I was like, okay. But it was played between the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts, and it was the first time the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Whoa! Yeah, cool. So very cool.
That's some, like, fun facts. And Jim Nance, who we just had seen in Perfect Week, was the announcer in the beginning of the episode at the Super Bowl saying, like, "Oh, is that his real number?"
Oh, yeah. So they must have used him while he was he was there. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So just some little, like, fun Super Bowl facts, I guess.
I love it.
Thanks.
CBS Sports.
Yeah.
CBS Sports facts.
So yeah, so at some point in the future, everyone meets up at the bar and in walks Barney, who has declared himself the winner of Super Bowl 44 because he now has a magic phone because it never stops ringing, which, as any good millennial will tell you, that sounds like a nightmare.
Full nightmare,
full stop, no thanks. No, I don't want it. And he's enlisted Ranjit to be his chauffeur as he sleeps with all these women over the next week or so. Ted's a little skeptical about the quality and caliber of women that are going to be Barney. But we soon find out that not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad, which is pretty interesting because, like, if you're going off of voice alone and, like, the things that they have to share with you, and there's no guarantee that they're going to be what you're looking for.
Barney has to have a system based on voice at this point, right?
Yeah, you know,
there's got to be some complicated algorithm about the frequency.
In his twisted little mind.
You know, there's got to be something that helps him out.
All right. So off he goes. And I love when Robin shows up, and I love how she's not even shocked or confused by seeing Ranjit at McLaren's. She's like, "Hey, McLaren's."
Hey, McLaren's. I know, it's just so good to have Ranjit back.
I know, I love him so much. He just adds something extra to the episodes. A little special treat.
Totes.
Yeah, and so she joins the crew with what looks like a very flat beer, but it's actually a huge glass of whiskey.
Fucking A.
So, you know, Ted asks what's going on. It's her coworker Don, turns out that he asked her out on Valentine's Day, which everyone loves because they want them to get married. Like, Ted and Marshall were convinced that she was going to marry him. And if you forgot who Don was, he's the guy that's been in, like, 38 million different morning shows, does not give a fuck about his job because nobody's watching.
Yeah.
You know, and Robin says things like "a woof over your head," and, you know, it's really cheesy shit that they're doing, but she takes it really seriously because she wants to be a network anchor.
Yeah, she's got ambition, and he doesn't.
He doesn't. So there's a little bit of friction between the two of them because Robin is serious and Don is not.
And because she's totally in love with him.
Obviously.
They're going to get married so hard.
What is it? You're gonna guys hit right in the butt.
Right in the butt.
I love it. And I love how, you know, they, a little bit later in the scene, you know, they do some prodding to find out, like, how exactly did he ask her out? Because they're not convinced by the wording of the invitation that it was actually for a date. Because he says, come to the apartment with a couple of friends for a party. So they start to, like, really, like, tease her that... Yeah. You know, it was wishful thinking on her part.
Exactly. And this is a great follow-up to her getting ghosted by Dale, her soulmate.
Oh, that's right.
Last episode. So Robin is in kind of a shitty spot. And also, there's stuff that gets addressed in a couple episodes about how Robin is feeling right now.
Yeah.
So put a pin in the scene of her eating the chicken wings.
Oh, yeah, she's like dibs on.
Yeah, dibs on his wings. So that's going to come back around. So there is more to that giant glass of scotch than
just Don asking her out.
Don and Dale, basically. Yeah. There's more to it. So
yeah. Ted jokes around that, you know, the two of them were supposed to have plans for Valentine's Day, you know, together getting drunk and cleaning the apartment, which, you know, he didn't say they were going to be fun or good plans, but they were plans nonetheless. Mm-hmm. We see Barney, who runs back over to the booth because his phone is on fire, and I love his yowza. He's got some pretty good sound effects this episode. The yowza, the
I know, I love that.
Yeah, me too. And he also sounded like Regis too when he said the yowza.
Yeah, he does that so well.
I love it. But, you know, Barney soon finds out that this phone is really not all it's cracked up to be because he's got this awful, you know, conundrum where he can't just hook up with any old girl knowing that a hotter girl could be out there. But that's how it is. There always could be someone hotter with whom up can be hooked.
Marshall disagrees. It's this very cute moment where, you know, Barney's saying, or was it Lily who says, isn't there always a hotter girl?
Yeah, Lily says it.
And then Marshall just is shaking his head looking at her like, nope. Definitely it's, not. He's so cute.
Isn't he just?
So darling.
I love it.
And Barney just has total FOMO from this phone.
And that's just kind of like the shitty thing about like dating, right? You know? Yeah. But Ranjit shares that he never had this problem because he had an arranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do you have any opinions on them? Or have you ever known anyone who's been in an arranged marriage?
No, I don't know anybody firsthand. I don't think that's been in one. It's interesting. I mean, I think if it's a consensual thing, then that's cool. And if it's like there are people who are together forever and they really just it's like you're dating but you're married, right? Like you're going out and doing things together that you would have done when you were dating anyway, but you're already married. So it's like, I don't know. I think when I was younger, I was really opposed to it because I thought it was something that people were forced into and it didn't make any sense. But I mean, your life is your life and it's long. And if you're both committed to making it work.
Yeah. I knew like, two people. I didn't know either of them well. One was parents of a family of a kiddo that I worked with. And then another was my friend Bree, her husband's friend, who I've met a handful of times, but I don't know him well. And he's like our age.
Yeah. Indian?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Both families. And the family that I worked with, she was like, they loved each other.
Yeah.
And it was, she was like, it worked out. And she would get like this little sweet smile. Cause like she talked about it very openly. She's like, oh, well, we were in an arranged marriage. I didn't know him. And she's just like, you know, and they were so sweet together.
Yeah. Oh. So I think sometimes the parents have their kids, not just their, you know, financial stability in mind, but also their happiness. That's not always the case.
Yeah.
But people get married for all kinds of reasons all over the planet. And there is something about falling in love with the person you're already married to, which is kind of adorable.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that it really does, it can work out well. So I don't know. It's complicated and it's not something I'm super familiar with. So I don't.
And I'm not in that situation. So I can't really.
I can't paint it with a brush stroke.
Yeah.
Or a broad strokes. No, I don't think I know anybody who's had an arranged marriage.
It's just interesting. Yeah. Because like we're so used to one way, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
But anyway, so Ted is very open to this idea and decides that's, you know, what he's looking for. Which is so fascinating to me. So fascinating to me.
I know. He's like suddenly giving up. I mean, I guess he gives up a lot, which is I think it's a normal dating thing. Like I used to give up and down, delete the apps and, you know, just
What's the point?
Need some time off. Like this is so depressing. So now he's just sort of surrendering to his friends and Lily must be over the moon about this.
Right? Like it's everything she hoped for because she has broken up so many of his relationships because they don't pass the front porch test.
And yet they forget to do it.
Which I could not.
What
I could not.
Is that? I don't know about that.
Maybe because they
piece.
Knew he wasn't serious about it.
Yeah, and they like have their own lives and their own shit going on, right? Yeah. Like they're getting older and it's just like, okay, we're not just obsessed with your relationship now, Ted.
Yes. And speaking of like, you know, obsessive and relationships and things like that, we find out Robin really hates Don. She's very passionate about this and that I love when she's like, she hates him so much. She thinks about it all the time. Just wants to, which is like slap his bum with a paddle.
With his little paddle. I want to spank him with his little paddle until his bum's all red. Because he was doing the paddle with the ball. Yeah, and that was after they were like, Robin, he didn't ask you out on a date.
Yeah, like wishful thinking. Yeah. Because they're convinced that she manifests. There we go.
God. Well, then we see the birth of Teddy Westside.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Teddy Westside. I forgot that it wasn't until season 5 that this came out. I mean, I call him that all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he has given Lily and Marshall the ticking clock of a double date on Valentine's Day. They have until then, which I guess is a couple days, to figure out who he should marry and then fall in love with. Marshall is still, they're all still at the bar. Marshall is still stuck on Robin loving Don. And he starts talking about how hate and love are very close to each other in the brain. And I don't know if this is true, but it feels like it's true.
Well, like, was it the hypothalamus? They're all your emotions. So they're all like
so
emotions.
It's all together.
So I feel
So if you're thinking about somebody a lot, either way you're fixating. And so Ted comes back to the bar with this very iconic image that was, I mean, this used to be everywhere. I don't know why I never see it
so
anymore.
So it first was used in a German magazine in 1892.
Whoa.
And was first in textbooks in 1911 in psych textbooks. And it was shown on, I think it was like on the BBC or something in 1953. Mm-hmm. And they found that women and older viewers saw the rabbit more easily. And then other viewers saw the duck. I have a hard time seeing a duck only because it's the ugliest
beak,
fucking duck.
I know. The beak shape is nothing like a duck.
No.
The bill is. Hang on,
I'm like, that's a stretch. Looks like scissors. Like the big scissors the art teacher would use.
Thank you. Hang on. Let me look up this.
I was looking at it all fucking day today. Thinking
I mean,
about
I get it's more like a seagull. The beak is more like a seagull than a rabbit. I definitely see the rabbit. But this Marshall lays this out thinking that he'll have everybody on his side. You know, he's, you know, got
not
the
even
piece.
Thinking there is a side.
Right. There's just these two arbitrary animals and he chooses the one that he in his mind thinks is better, the rabbit. And, you know, says sometimes you think something's a duck, but then it ends up being a rabbit. You know, the good thing that you like. And it turns out.
No.
Robin, Lily, so and wrong. Ted all have.
Ducks are up and rabbits are down. No, thank
the
you.
Same opinion about this very arbitrary thing. And Marshall just feels insane that they all agree. And it what unfolds is, for me, one of the best scenes in How I Met Your Mother.
Epic lines.
We're not talking about flavor, Ted.
Flavor counts.
No. You tell me who's cozier.
Come on, a rabbit skin like a fur jacket? Come on.
Yeah, that's true. They do have those too. And did you look up
Ranjit was saying? firmly in the camp of rabbit. And then, so it says Ranjit shouts in Persian. Yes.
Ranjit is what changed my mind as well.
Duck can swim, duck can walk, duck can fly. What do you want from an animal? And I was like, oh, you got me there, dude.
Yeah.
You got me there.
Duck has a lot going on. But I just always thought rabbits were like fluffy and sweet and cute. Like, why would they be bad?
No one's carrying around a duck foot for luck.
So freaking good. And when it was a few years ago, my family and I got in this level of a screaming match about, I don't even remember who posed the question.
Because it's illegal, Ted. If we bet on it, Marshall.
Someone brought up the question of, if you could only eat one meat the rest of your life, mm-hmm. would it be steak? Chicken or pork products?
Ew. Wait, but pork's got a lot going for it. Thank you. So much.
Okay, so this is what happened.
You got your chop. You got your bacon. So you got your sausage.
I was team pork. The other side was like, there are so many things you could never eat again. Chicken wings, chicken salad, chicken pot pie.
Pork's the other white meat. You can't eat bacon.
Listen. We were saying bacon, sausage, all these different things. And they were like, it's just such a standard. Heated. I mean, it was so heated. And then I just went, guys. We don't have to choose. we all just started laughing. And that diffused it. But yeah, it was like a full screaming match in my mom's basement about chicken versus pork. So when I saw this episode for the first time, I was like,
God.
I've been there. I've been in that fight over something that can't be settled by Google, that there is no absolute answer. And I mean, that's the fun stuff to argue about. So.
Agreed.
So your team duck now based on Ranjit?
I guess so, but I still like a rabbit more. But duck's impressive.
Duck is impressive. All those things, and it ducks tastes better together than rabbit. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, it does. Rabbit is gamey.
Yeah. Just an incredible moment, and in the end, finally, Marshall is just
and they pause, and then there's like the ridiculousness. They speed up. Oh, it's just so good. But go ahead. Sorry.
It was very, very well done. Mm-hmm. And Marshall finally concedes, and they make him say it. And
say it. You have to say it.
You have to say it. So
it's so twisted. I love it.
And then Robin's like, "Yep. See, I told you Don is a rabbit," but then Ted slides through with a hardcore lawyering. And I love the sigh that Marshall and Lily do after he does it.
Yes.
Oh, so freaking good.
Oh, I feel like the actors have had fun with this episode too.
Yeah. How could you not?
Yeah, like it's great dialogue. Pam Fryman's directing.
High energy. High energy.
Barney is so frantic, which actually we're going to cut to that because we cut to his apartment and we see him very genuine, very into this woman on the bed. There's no place I'd rather be, no one I'd rather be with until his phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to answer it. And it's a hot lady bullfighter on the other end. So Barney kicks out this other woman. They go to McLaren's to get the hot lady bullfighter. And then you see this, then you see him repeat the scene of there's nowhere I'd rather be, no one I'd rather be with. And then his phone rings. And now it's a gold medalist Japanese figure skater. But every single time we see this repeat, his energy gets more frantic. His performance slips with the woman. And eventually he's just like selling on a hot chick. Like he is losing his mind. He is unhinged.
Yeah.
And I love Ranjit knitting in the cab, too, in between, like, all these, like, the back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And the scarf gets longer.
Yep, yep. And then he's got a full hat, fingerless gloves, fingerless and a gloves, scarf at the end. Yes,
so cute. So freaking adorable. Cute.
So, yeah, so, you know, Barney is having a really hard time. He cannot handle this. But we think he's settled on a woman, this hot chick who knows Barney's very busy, so she's just going to get right to the point. And she demonstrates how she can use her bad leg, her very bad leg, to
very bad.
Lift it up behind her head and open a beer with it.
And I want to know who was, like, sitting on this girl's lap, like, straddling this girl and doing that. That was so funny.
And, like, I love her. She doesn't ever break the eye contact. Like,
she's great.
She did a really great job there. I did not look up any of the guests. Sorry about it.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't. I feel like I've never seen her anywhere else.
Yeah,
sadly.
I just was like, these are not any, like, anybody to talk about, really. But she impressed me a little bit. I wanted to find out more about the leg, but I didn't. Sorry.
Have we talked about Don? Did you talk about Don last time?
In what ways?
Like who he is, like actor-wise?
I think we did in the beginning.
Okay.
When he was first introduced.
All right.
Who is?
Because we've only seen him once, right?
I think this is the third time. No?
Oh, was he in Last Cigarette? He was in Last Cigarette Ever. That's why. Because I'm missing like a chunk of the Don story because I didn't... I wasn't in that episode.
Recap.
All right, cool. All right, continue.
I feel like I did talk about it. I'll check.
I'm sure you did, and it was probably during that episode.
Maybe we'll see.
but speaking of like looking people up, I'm watching The Good Place finally, like the final season, and Don is in it, and he's a total rabbit in it.
Really?
Yeah, he's like a total dickhead.
Huh? Yeah. How about that?
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, speaking of rabbits, Barney is at, you know, he's losing his mind, goes to answer the phone, and he looks and realizes that this thing that he loved is no longer a duck. It is now a rabbit. It's something that he hates. And we see him holding this little white rabbit, and he runs out of McLaren's, throws it in the dumpster, and he goes back to the apartment, and we see he looks a little bit more relaxed. He's disheveled, but more genuine, and he's about to lean in, and then he fucking hears the turkey in the straw.
Fucking turkey in the straw. The phantom ring.
Oh, my God. He's like, shh, do you hear that? And he has to go back to... It's like, it reminded me of, like, Telltale Heart almost, you know? Like, he hears the beating of the heart.
Very, very that. Yeah. But it's like... I wrote that this sort of thing happens a lot in life where something... you love becomes something you hate. And I think it happens a lot when either in relationships, it's like a bad relationship where the thing that attracts you to someone is the thing you end up hating or vice versa, right? Like if someone isn't good for you, they will start hating the most fundamental things about you. So just look out for that, guys. But also for me, it happens when I try to turn a hobby into a side hustle, you know, like when I try to take something I really enjoy doing and make money off of it, I immediately start to hate it. Yeah. It immediately flips from duck to rabbit for me. So
what about from rabbit to duck?
Something I hate, turning something I hate into something I love.
Yeah.
I feel like that's harder.
Mm.
I can't think of anything that's happened with lately.
Hmm.
But that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some things come back around, right? Like this podcast. Sometimes I'm just exhausted. I'm like, I don't want to fucking do it. But then I love doing
it. It's always a duck.
Yeah. Always a duck. Always a duck.
Yeah, it feels like a rabbit sometimes.
Yeah, it feels like a rabbit, but it's always a duck. Sometimes it's like a duck with like rabbit ears on, but it's always a duck for sure. Yeah.
I'd say for anal too felt like a rabbit, but it's definitely a duck. I just said that.
Am I leaving that in?
I told Chris at dinner, I was like, yo, because I was like thinking about like questions I wanted to ask you, and I thought of that, and I was like, what would I say? And I lost my mind. I was like, I gotta say this for the reaction. You can do whatever you want with it.
Oh, it's gonna be in the beginning of the episode. The intro. Yeah. I fucking love it. I was like, what?
Your face, and you're just like, stop. And then I lost it.
I was like, are we doing this? Are we having this conversation? Cool.
Oh, I got real sweaty and nervous.
That's so fucking funny. I've been
trying not to forget it.
So,
anyway.
So it's Valentine's Day. It's the big day.
Finally.
And Lily and Marshall, those couple of airheads, totally forgot to set him up. And so they panic and run around the bar and
one married dad
accost every woman in there, and Marshall gets fucking maced, and it's amazing.
Lily's so like, oh, what? Like, you could be choosy. You're in a bar on Valentine's Day. Yeah,
just really not doing a great job. And Ted is upstairs getting ready for his date. He looks good this episode.
He's got like blazer on.
Yeah, the blazer looks good. He's got a good plaid shirt, mm-hmm. graphic tee look early in the episode. So shouts mm-hmm. out to him. And so he's getting ready to go to his date. And Robin's getting ready to go to Don's party. And she comes out Whew. In this fucking bodycon dress that looks like... You know that bikini company? I think it's called Triangle, where they have, they do all those like color block bikinis with the black piping, and it looks like a cartoon. I've like
seen it on like Instagram ads.
Yeah. Sure. It's like a coloring book looking dress. And I tried really, really hard to find out where the dress is from, guys, because it's definitely designer, and I couldn't.
She looks great.
So if anyone knows where that crazy cool dress is,
please let us know.
Let us know who made it. Let's see. So yeah, Ted's like, yeah, Donna is definitely a duck if that's what you're wearing. And so he escorts her to Don's house before going on his date. And he gets there with her and Don pulls a naked man. So another callback.
So good.
And specific to Robin, because as we all know, Robin fell for the original naked man.
And you can catch her giggling, which is her tell for when she's lying, because she can't lie. She starts to giggle a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
When he brings it up later, yeah.
And it turns out Don is... We start to get a little empathy for Don because we find out that he is freshly out of a marriage that started when he was in college, right? So he's just like floundering out here trying to figure out how to date women, how to pick them up, how to do any of it. Mm-hmm. And of course, he has stumbled upon Barney's blog, which is where he is getting his advice from, which is...
amazing.
Yeah. So terrifying. For the time being... He's back to being a rabbit because he's done this creepy thing, which Robin now finds creepy, apparently. I wonder what would have happened if Ted wasn't there. I know what would have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But having Ted there showed her that, like, okay, he is kind of a scummy guy, right?
Yeah. That's not really what I want.
And so she's back home, and she's cleaning up, and Ted's heading out. And at this point, I remember early on, probably, I guess it was my first time watching it, thinking that Ted was developing feelings for Robin again, right about here, right? Mm-hmm. There's this, and then there's the scene at the end of the episode, and then things happen later in the season, that kind of, yeah. So I think this is where you see it. I mean, up until now in this season, there hasn't really been... anything between them. It's just been very roommate-y and they don't really talk about it. But these moments kind of start it's things bubbling different. Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ted meets Marshall and Lily outside the restaurant, and we find out that after looking for a girl all week, yeah, fucking right, Marshall and Lily. They
the craziest thing.
They finally just ended up using Barney's phone to do it because Barney again was trying to get rid of his phone. Mm-hmm. And Marshall takes it away. And we also find out that Trudy is married.
Mm-hmm.
And Blah Blah is in Bellevue.
Committed, yep.
And so the phone becomes the conduit for Ted's arranged marriage at the last minute. But it's not all bad because, again, a high-quality woman was found.
Right. She's a world-class violinist. She... A gourmet cook. And she can quote every line of Caddyshack.
The girls Ted wants always have, like, a quirk like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she finishes the New York Times crossword puzzle. Like, there's always, like, one thing that's quirky about them.
Always.
She plays bass guitar.
She makes up songs.
With breakfast foods. Yeah. So, they all have dinner, but... And we find out that Natalia is great and also needs to get married because she needs a fucking green card.
Which is perfect for an arranged marriage, which is exactly what he wants.
Right. So they, I mean, even on a short deadline, the kid got results, you know? Kid's got it done. And so when Ted has to decide between rabbit or duck for dinner, he uses it metaphorically. And for some reason chooses rabbit and leaves. So they've done everything that he wanted. But for some reason, he still is backing out of this marriage thing. And it does feel like he's going to go back to Robin. Because another time we've seen this is when he had the perfect girl picked out from Love Solutions. And then backed out because he wanted to keep going after Robin. So there's like that... The best part of having Carter and Craig writing an episode is that they can subtly put in these callbacks that they don't even mention and then use them as sort of like a redirect to throw you off the scent.
So good.
You know?
They're so really good. Clever.
Yeah.
So we see Barney run in, crashes their dinner, Marshall and Lily's dinner and the phone girl.
Yeah.
Because he wants to know where his phone is. And Lily tells him, we hid it. So now we have some more information. Mm-hmm. We're not sure what's going on, but we need to... There's something else we're missing out on. So we get a flashback to Robin telling Ted to go out and enjoy his night. And then we get an extension of that scene. Mm-hmm. We hear Turkey in the Straw again and realize that's Barney's phone ringing. And he picks it up. And once he does that, he is... Hooked. I mean, it's Teddy West Side.
Yeah.
You know? So that was really the catalyst for him choosing Rabbit and deciding that he didn't want that and he wanted to see where this magic phone could take him.
Yeah. So it wasn't some high-minded quest for love, right? No, which is what we thought it would be for Ted.
Yeah, like, I can't do this. No, he just wants to...
He wants to be a dirtbag a little longer.
Yeah, just a little bit. He's not quite ready. Even though this whole season he's been talking about being ready, come down to it, and he panics a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Actions speak louder than words.
Yes. And Barney runs in to grab the phone and Ted's cool new nickname from him. And they get this little bit of like a kerfluffle. And then they toss the phone kind of like hot potato. Lily ends up grabbing it and drops it in a pitcher, thus ending the magic phone.
I mean, the magic phone could have been stopped if anybody ever had put it on silent. But you know what? That doesn't make good TV.
That does not make a good TV at all. And my notes are gone for this next part, so I'm just going to wing it.
Oh, I can.
Barney's like desolate, right? And then Ranjit
carries him out. Carries him out in his full ensemble. And so then back at the apartment, Ted and Robin are enjoying a pint of beer and a movie. And it's like they both talk about how it's just friends and how it's great that they can do couples things as friends, but it's like, is something happening here? Like, it's not overt at all. There's no real indication that it is, but
there's a little bit of a hint.
Right. It's Ted and Robin on the couch having a beer. It just feels very intimate. So who knows?
Avoiding cleaning the bathroom together. Right.
Yeah. Couple stuff.
Yeah.
So after the cut, Don apologizes to Robin on air. And this is when we find out he got married in college. So he's just like, this is like a very vulnerable thing for him. He's very embarrassed, not by being naked, but by his behavior on the show. And we know that that is what has been bothering Robin. It's like he's just been so unprofessional and it makes her insecure about her own goals, right? Because she wants to be this big news reporter, and he's just like shitting on it every day. And so he apologizes and says that you deserve a co-anchor who gives a crap. So that is like, to me, that's the first time that it's like very clear that Don likes her as more than just like a bang, you know, because he's willing to put on pants. Oh. He's willing to put on pants. And then those pants earn him a duck bill.
Well, look at that.
And it looks like Marshall was right all along. Duck. Oh, duck. So what did you think of Rabbit or Duck, Caitlin?
Oh, it's so good. It's so fun. Yeah. It's quick. It's fast. The callbacks are endless, which is just, you know, it has, you know, Carter and Craig all over it. And yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
I love how it like kind of, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's a great episode. I love it. And like I said, it has one of the best scenes in the whole series. So. So good. So good.
Oh, and I honestly, today was the first, I was like, oh shit, I got to look up what Ranjit was saying. I never bothered to like it up before until today. And I was like, mother, I was all ready to go anti-duck.
There was a piece of me that wished he was on Marshall's side.
Yeah.
But it's also really funny that everybody was against Marshall on something so arbitrary that it's like, Why do these people all align on this? And it just must have made him feel so insane.
It was so, yeah. And it was so clear to, it was like arguing that the sky is not blue.
Right. It's like they learned it growing up. Yeah. It's like they learned it growing up. What? Yeah. Like
systemic racism doesn't exist. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
What? He's like,
the noises he makes. God, it's so good.
So, so good. But yeah. Any other thoughts from you, Kate, about this episode?
No, it was really fun. So it was a good one to watch and rewatch and write about and talk about.
My only complaint is that it just felt so fast.
It is so fast.
Not they like always Perfect do. Week, which was like, oh my God.
Forever, right?
Forever.
But this one's like jammed.
I'm like, shit, it's done?
Damn. Yeah, I know.
So much fun.
I know.
So much fun. So, all right, we've got some legendary moments from our fans. All right, our first legendary moment comes from Rufus. Rufus writes, "Hey, K&K, as I go through season 5 with you guys, I'm realizing just how great season 5 is. I always considered it a fairly mid-range season, but so far the middle of season 5 has been absolutely incredible." Yes, yes, yes. Yep, you can't see Rufus, but we are just like nodding like
bobbleheads. Yeah, we are huge season 5 stands, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love so much about this episode. I love how when Lily says there's always a hotter girl, you see Marshall shaking his head to Lily, making her face light up. I know. Something I only saw when watching the episode for this email. What? Don't you love when that happens, when you notice something new? That's always such a delight. Yeah.
I think I only noticed it this time too. And I've watched this episode so many times. So yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. I love how Ted says he'll be back in 30 seconds and it takes him 22 minutes to come back. So me. I love the way NPH is given the license for such over-the-top acting where he's especially incredible. And I love that Don's character gets great development at the end of this episode. My legendary moment would have to be the rabbit or the duck fight. It's so relatable the way that the most trivial thing can cause such a huge fight. It happened to me so many times. I found it absolutely hilarious. And Jason Segel's near psychopathic desperation is incredible.
Yeah.
Special mention to Robin's no, no, no. Who's going here?
No, 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 no. Sounds like a fucking engine revving up. It's so good.
Makes me die every time. Anyway, thanks for making such an awesome podcast. Love from the UK, Rufus.
Oh,
thanks,
thank you, Rufus. Next up is Helena. And Helena says, "Hey, ladies, this is one of my personal favorite episodes." Me too. "My legendary moment is the scene where they're arguing in the bar. It's absolutely hilarious. Side note, I'm 100% Team Marshall here. Rabbits are better than ducks. Thank you for all you do, Helena." I got to do a poll. We gotta do a poll on Twitter.
Agreed. But after we get the final result, I think we should do an update. All right. If you know what Ranjit says, or like give the Ranjit share about the ducks, does that change your opinion? And then you'd be like, yes or no.
Right.
I want to know that too.
True.
As a follow up.
True.
Or just, you know, if anyone changes their mind after the podcast.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. All right. Next is Adam. Oh, our friend Adam. First off, last email cited poo. Not until I hear your two views on home did I look at the episode different. So thank you for letting me see how immature that joke is.
Oh.
You're
welcome. It's all good. Yeah.
We're always trying to help each other. That's what being a part of this HP fam is. Like,
yeah.
We said earlier, know better, do better. We're always learning.
Holler.
Now, rabbit or duck. I love this episode, but big question. When Ted is showing the picture, even when I was single, I saw a duck. Anyone else?
No, I see. I've always seen a rabbit.
Rabbit first, and then I can shift to the duck.
But really, the thing I see is an illusion. Like,
yeah,
that it's like, very clear that it's neither.
Yes.
You
yes.
know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I am a wear my heart on my sleeve kind of guy. Second, I did what Barney did. Not a live game or anything, but I put my real number on the back of my car to try to get dates, and it didn't work. But I love the whole story here and how at the end Robin sees Dawn as a duck. My legendary moment is when Lily and Marshall are trying to get Ted his wife. I love the whole montage. Stay safe, your friend, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Thank Last you. But not least, we got a short LMs this week, which is great. Last but not least is Kalpesh. Hey, girls. One more episode of Himyam with one more theory. Rabbit or duck. Legmo, Barney, rabbit hopping from one girl to the other. Very nice. And how Ted ducks a compatible match.
Oh.
While trying to copy Barney.
Oh,
good well one. Done. Love well that. Play done. On words. Love to you both. Take care of yourself. Thanks, Kalpesh. Thank you so much, Thank guys. You, Those Kalpesh. Were so good.
Those are fun. How about yeah. you, Kate? What's your legendary moment?
Obviously the bar fight.
Obviously the bar fight, yeah. Obviously. Nothing else compares to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We had a great time chatting about this episode, and we will see you next time for more fun and Carrie Underwood Ooh. For Hooked.
God,
apparently
like
people
her.
Have a problem with her eyebrows. Are you the one that told me about her eyebrows?
Oh, no, I just have a problem with her all over. She looks like the kid from The Sixth Sense, but like a little bit.
All right, we'll talk about this next time. Send your legendary moments to heybeautifulpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be taping after Thanksgiving, so you have a little time. Thanks to Rachel's Cookies and Treats, as always, for being our sponsor. And if you love this recap, don't forget to leave us an Apple Podcast review. They are very, very helpful.
Yes.
And you can also help by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen. And we hope you'll come back next episode.
Because it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
This has been Hey Beautiful with your hosts, Kate Gorton and Caitlin Turner. Our intro outro music is by Owl All.